All right, Alexander, let's discuss the situation with the U.S. war with Iran. And things are escalating to a full-out war. We're probably there. Iran has discarded the Memorandum of Understanding officially. The Trump White House is now on the ninth day of consecutive airstrikes into Iran. There's talk about some sort of operation at Pickaxe Mountain, some sort of ground invasion, but not using U.S. forces. You have U.S. military casualties ticking up over the past couple of days. And it does appear as if we are back in a big war with the U.S. and Iran. The situation around energy is also very bad.
Yes.
It looks like China's gonna restart importing oil, which will remove a big buffer, a price buffer that existed over the 60-day conflict, probably kept the 60-day conflict back in May, June, kept that price at around 100. If China does start to ramp up oil imports, then we could be looking at the price of oil going way past 100. Qatar, rumors that Qatar is trying to get a 10-day pause. There's all kinds of things going on, but the trajectory is towards a much bigger conflict between the United States and Iran. Also rumors that Israel's about to get involved. Also the fact that the U.S. has moved much of its military assets into Jordan. Jordan's now getting smashed, and now they're moving those military assets further west to Israel. Where is this going?
Well, I think you've actually summed up the whole situation extremely well. I mean, the United States resumed a war against Iran that had not turned out well when it was fought in March and early April. I'm not sure why they wanted to resume the war again. Well, I think we do know. I mean, there was enormous political pressure. They tried to basically circumvent the Memorandum of Understanding to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. The Iranians acted to protect their leverage. This is not well thought through in the United States. And the big question is this: Does the United States have a plan, a military plan now, of how they're going to, if not win this, at least put so much military pressure on Iran that they're going to be able to force the Iranians to the negotiating table, where the Iranians make the concessions that they did not make when the Memorandum of Understanding was signed? Bear in mind that the Iranians themselves are now convinced that the Memorandum of Understanding was a mistake. And at the moment, they are upping their demands. They're demanding more, much more than the Memorandum of Understanding provided. So does the United States have a plan? Because all the things that we've been hearing about, attacking Pickaxe Mountain, seizing islands in the Persian Gulf and in the Strait of Hormuz, going after Harg Island, starting ground operations, they were all talked about back in March, and none of them seemed to be viable at the time, and they were all dropped. Does the United States now have some alternative plan ready that will enable it to prevail in this latest iteration of this conflict? Because if not, then with China, as you rightly say, returning to the oil market, with the price of oil already rising, it's now at $90 a barrel and going up, with the reserves already depleted, and with American inventories of precision weapons also depleted, and with a big Financial Times article, which received minimal attention, even though it deserved to receive an awful lot more, but with the Financial Times article saying that the Chinese have now imposed extremely rigorous controls on exports of rare earths, so that anybody who wants to import rare earths from China has to provide complete incredibly detailed questionnaires, which give complete cast iron undertakings to China that the rare earths will not be passed on to the MIC, and that the Chinese have been playing with rare earths. So they sometimes supply a certain quantity and then they stop. In other words, that they're restricting supplies of rare earths, which must be affecting US weapons production. Unless the United States has a plan, then this is going to end in a major debacle, because at the moment, I can't see that the United States, through these attacks that it is making, is achieving anything.
Well, it seems that these attacks are being conducted with the goal of trying to get some sort of an incursion or foothold into Iran, or at least into the Strait of Hormuz or the islands around there. At least that's how it seems. It appears as if the Trump administration is just having difficulty finding the proxy that's going to do this.
Yes.
That's where they're stuck. I mean, the airstrikes do appear to be working towards that. You know, they're taking out bridges, they're taking out the water facilities, they're taking out railway links.
Yes.
You know, they're hitting these types of targets in what appears to be a strategy to isolate a certain area in Iran so that troops can move in and get a foothold. The goal is Strait of Hormuz, and we know that.
Yes.
It's not about uranium enrichment anymore. It's not even about regime change anymore, to be honest. They want to hold, to capture, and to try and hold the Strait of Hormuz. It's an impossible task to me, but they can't find the proxy. I don't know. Is that a correct assessment? Is that your sense of things?
I think your assessment is absolutely correct. I mean, that is the plan behind the aerial campaign that we are seeing at the moment. The problem with this aerial campaign is that even as they carry out these strikes to try to isolate this area of Iran, they are themselves being pushed backwards. They have been forced from the Persian Gulf, first to Jordan, and now from Jordan to Israel itself. And the further from the region they are, the more difficult I would have thought it is to sustain air operations over the Persian Gulf and over Iran in support of whatever ground operation they might be thinking about, because the aircraft have to travel longer distances, the missiles have to travel longer distances, the Iranians, who do seem to have radars and who are probably getting quite a lot of intelligence information from the Chinese and the Russians. The Iranians are able to prepare for these strikes and these attacks more effectively. And I don't think that the air operations we've seen so far would be anywhere close to being sufficient to stopping the Iranians from sending large forces to counter whatever ground operation is being carried out. So time is not on the side of the US here. And it does seem that the longer this continues, it's the American side that is retreating rather than the Iranian. Unless they have a plan, an operational plan, to get somebody to launch this ground invasion of Iran. And it's difficult to work out who that's going to be. I can't imagine it's going to be Israel, to say it frankly. I don't think it would be supported widely in Israel if it was. I don't think the Persian Gulf states are up for this kind of thing. So who is it who's going to conduct this ground operation on behalf of the United States? And if there was a plan for a ground operation, why was it not all agreed and sorted out before this fighting resumed? Why is it all being made up, as it seems, along the way? This is a major crisis that is developing, that is going to shake the administration itself and cause it enormous political problems in a few months' time, unless they have some kind of plan for victory, which I cannot see.
Who is going to be the proxy?
Well,
Iraq,
what I worry,
Iraq, Kurds.
Well, Iraq is not Iraq is not going to attack Iran again.
Well, the Iraq territory. Sorry, I mean the Iraq territory for the for the Kurds.
I know absolutely. Yeah. But I mean the Kurds. I doubt that the Kurds are strong enough. You see, what I fear is that, in spite of all the denials, in spite of all the political opposition that undoubtedly does exist in the United States, ultimately, what the US is going to come back to is that the only reliable troops who have the competence and the ability to conduct ground operations against Iran are Americans. And that at some point, if this crisis continues in the way that it is, the pressure inevitably is going to grow in the United States, all of those people who do want to see the Strait of Hormuz reopened. We're going to say that Iran is closing the Strait of Hormuz, is blackmailing the entire world, it's choking off everybody, that they're going to start pressing for deployment of ground troops to Iran. I'm just old enough to remember the debates that happened around the conflict in Vietnam. The United States, President Johnson, appeared to rule out deploying U.S. ground troops to Vietnam. There was a lot of opposition to deploying U.S. ground troops to Vietnam in the United States. But ultimately, the decision was made because the alternative was to back down, and backing down was politically impossible and, of course, unacceptable as well.
Which is the situation right now with Iran.
Which is exactly the same situation with Iran.
Is the plan to turn this into a long war? It's my final question. Forget Trump. Trump is gone in 2 years. Is the plan to take this into a 10-year conflict where you have airstrikes, then you get Qatar or someone like that to get a pause, and then you start up again, and then you bring up the idea of boots on the ground? I mean, you're kind of softening up the American public. You also make the conflict in Iran as something that's there. It's just happening.
Yeah.
You know, so people become used to it, complacent about it as well, in a way. But it's there. It continues. You still have the NGOs. You still have the information war operating. You still put pressure on the regime. You still have the sanctions. You still have the frozen assets. You have airstrikes that last for a month or 2 months. Is that the goal? And then eventually, over a year or two or three or four, you finally, you know, get the boots on the ground.
Well, I think the danger of a long war is Iran's strategic nightmare. And I think that they came to realize during the period of the MOU that that was exactly what they were looking at, that the MOU was not going to translate into negotiations and substantive agreements between themselves and the Americans. And in the meantime, the Strait of Hormuz was open or partially open, and ships were passing through, and the oil supply situation was starting to stabilize, and it was setting up, in effect, for a long war, a long siege of Iran, which Iran was not in a position to withstand. So this is one of the reasons why the Iranians began to attack shipping in the Strait of Hormuz, because it's closing the Strait of Hormuz that closes off the option of a long war. Because if the Strait of Hormuz is closed, the price of oil remains elevated, and perhaps not just elevated, but at some point shoots up vertiginously. And the United States at that point has to make a decision, and not a decision in 1 or 2 or 3 years' time when people have been softened up and prepared for the possibility of sending boots on the ground, and it's become uncontroversial. And by this time, Iran has been so badly hit so many times that its ability to resist the Americans when they come has been reduced. It's a situation where the United States sends boots on the ground very early on in the conflict, before that big softening up of Iran has happened. You know, the kind of softening up that Iraq went through in the 1990s. Before that happens, while Iran is still strong, while its military is still strong, while it still has missiles and drones and radars and air defenses and all of those kind of things, and puts the United States in a major position of disadvantage. So in a sense, it's the Iranians who currently hold the strategic initiative, which is why they went, why basically they started attacking the shipping in the Strait of Hormuz, and the United States, which is on the back foot. And the thing that the United States has failed to do over the last 2 weeks is it's failed to capitalize on the political damage that Iran experienced when it walked away from the MOU. And again, one wonders why. And I can't help but think that once again, it's because this administration simply doesn't know how to do diplomacy very well. If they'd known how to do diplomacy, they would have sent people to China, to Russia, to all sorts of places, saying what the Iranians are doing by walking away from the MOU is completely unacceptable. They should honor their commitments. Rubio hasn't been to Beijing. Rubio hasn't been to Moscow. He hasn't been to either of those capitals ever since he was appointed Secretary of State, nor has any other senior US official, not even Witkoff. And the result is that the Americans have squandered the political advantage that signing the MOU gave them.
Yeah, but there was never going to be any diplomacy. It was not about diplomacy. It should have been, and they should have taken advantage of the MOU and gotten out of this mess, but they don't want to get out of this mess. The strategy now is to try and figure out a way to open up Hormuz, capture, control it, open it up, because if you can open it up, what it does is it gives you time and space so you can continue to chip away at Iran. Yes. And Iran, as you said, realized this and they said, hell no, are we going to get dragged into a long war where the US is chipping away at us. Exactly. And so this is the struggle now that is taking place. But everything points to the desire of the US to try and drag this war out. And Trump is good at dragging things out.
Oh, absolutely. He's very good at it. But this is where, as I said, the Iranians, by closing the Strait of Hormuz, are trying to, and so far succeeding, in closing off the option of the long war. Now, that then brings us back to the big question. Short of deploying American ground troops, does the US have a plan for victory? Because if it doesn't, if it can't find a proxy, and it has to be a proxy that has some prospect of succeeding in this. I mean, I don't believe that Iraq, for example, has ground forces that are remotely competent to succeed in this. So the US has to find a proxy that is willing to take the losses and is able to succeed. If it can't find a proxy, then my own view is that sometime around the autumn, with oil prices at $150 a barrel or $200 a barrel, the pressure to send ground troops is going to grow.
Yeah. All right. We will end the video there. TheDurant.locals.com, where our next round Rumble, where our Telegram, go to Durant Shop, pick up some merch. Also check us out on Substack. And all those links are in the description box down below. Take care.